Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is January 24th, 2023. We're going to play our introduction here of Malcolm X and the House Negro.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the House Negro and the Field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, we got a good house here, the house Negro said, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick. He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, that house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today because we still got some house niggers running around here.
Greetings, folks. Yeah, this here is homelessness, the Second Amendment, and mass shootings. That have happened in California recently. The air date of this episode is January 24th, 2023. Okay, in regard to homelessness, we're going to turn it over here to Brother Cherry Nkrumah, also known as Jesse Paris, you know, who is also running for Denver mayor here in 2023. You know, the brother's been a homeless advocate, you know, trying to do for the homeless, going out here feeding those in the senior citizen homes every Sunday. And we're wondering where all these other Denver mayoral candidates are. How come they're not out there, you know, joining Brother Che of the great work he does? We also are joined by the anchor man, the one and only General Ramel. And I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankaran. Okay, Brother Che, come on with it, man, in regard to the homelessness.
Oh, man, homelessness is on the rise. Unhoused neighbors are being displaced due to these migrants that's coming in from Venezuela and other places south of the border. The city wants to prioritize them over the people that's been unhoused for decades in this city. And enough is enough of this. I mean, they're really trying to blackball me. I have some bad news to share. I didn't make the ballot, so I'm going to have to run as a write-in. So people that are supporting me, they're going to have to write my name in. They want me to be the next mayor of Denver.
Oh, man.
I said I was interested.
Okay.
insufficient. And I was 35 signatures short of the 300, but they kicked out so many signatures that even if I would have got to 35, I still wouldn't have made it. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
Welcome.
Okay.
Welcome,
yeah, exactly, Ramel.
Motherfucker.
Exactly, Ramel.
Just keep shining, baby.
Yeah, we're still continuing on, though.
Yeah, exactly. We got, you know.
We got some candidate forums coming up, so I plan to disrupt and disturb every last one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, so that's the update on the mayor's race. All these people are still on my me and Lady Chase talking about they want to end the Swedes, talking about they want to end homelessness, and they have no solid plans for any of the above, and they have no experience with any of the above.
Yes, sir. Okay, so it's quite obvious what they're doing is they're plagiarizing your words, your ideas in regard to the homelessness situation there in Denver, Colorado, and feel free to use this platform at any time, sir, you know, to sit up there and to crumb bomb on them. And anytime you do a live feed to crumb bomb on them, man, you know, definitely let me know. Use our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and this is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We're a division of Frontline Black News as well, too. Okay, so we figured that. Well, not figured it, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, that was a possibility. So, unfortunately, you know, the worst-case scenario came to be, but however, you know, Brother Che was prepared for it anyway. This is why they don't want to debate him. This is why when he goes down into the city of Denver talking about such an inhumane issue, you know, they want to downplay him. It's for the simple fact is that this man is serious. Those other clowns there, you know, they're acting. And by the way, too, Jeff Bayard or Jeff Bart or whatever your name is, man, why don't you give us a call here, man, at 516-418-5996. And Shabaka St. Corey is officially calling you here on air. A punk. You are a punk, Mr. Fayard. You know, call in the number, man. You know, let's see what you're about. You know what I'm saying? Because you are dish standing in front of them, about you. You know, being a homie kind of nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, so that there, you know, is definitely bad. Now, the city of Los Angeles with Karen Bass, you know, she's supposed to be doing something for the homelessness, and she's giving out a small amount of hotel vouchers there in Los Angeles, California. But I'm of the opinion is that what the city of LA is going to do is constantly push the homeless encampments west of that, no, strike that, east of downtown, and it's going to take them to the world's largest sewer, which is commonly referred to as the Los Angeles River, which is nothing but a great big storm drain, okay? And then what happens is that from the northern part of California in the farm country, all the wastewater goes in there. And then also, too, is that traveling through California, when I go through, like, the farm areas and what have you, Kern County, Madera County, and what have you, I'm seeing signs out there that says Gavin Newsom stop dumping the water into the Pacific Ocean, okay? So somebody perhaps shed some light on that. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, you can give us a call here, you know, to join in our conversation here at 516-418-5996. Okay, now. And we're going to, you know, go back and forth between, you know, our three topics tonight. Okay, Second Amendment. All right, the Second Amendment. Okay, due to the recent shootings that happened there in Monterey Park, California, which is in L.A. County just outside of Los Angeles, of course, our hearts go out to those that lost loved ones. And from what I understand, it was a 72-year-old man who went there and did this. And then he was on his way to a second location to do the same thing. And somebody intervened him, disarmed him. And then I believe he got off in his vehicle and he drove so far, you know, about 15, 20 miles from, you know, the scene where he lost the weapon. And they're reporting on the news, you know, that he shot himself in the head and blew his brains out. And my question is, why didn't this guy do this first before he started going up shooting people? Okay. And then, of course, it was in the Asian community. And then his brother Paris had pointed out recently is that the U.S. Congress had passed an anti-hate bill against Asians. However, they refused to pass any anti-hate legislation when it comes to our people, you know, which I find very, very interesting. So, therefore...
Shabaka Shiva Jackson Lee just called herself passing or trying to get passed, still in the development stages. But she has a bill called the Anti-White Supremacist Bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Congresswoman from Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. H.R. 67, but that's not what we'll be asked for. That's not what we demanded. We demanded an anti-black hatred bill. Not an anti-supremacy bill. An anti-black hatred bill.
Oh, yeah,
and once again, it shows
international
black talk. I just want to finish this thought, Shabaka. It just shows that the anti, congressional black caucus, congressional black caucus, immigrant caucus, that where their priorities are, and they're not for black people, period.
No.
Especially foundational black Americans and descendants of chattel slavery.
Yes, sir. You know, and then also, too, and once again, you know, we're waiting for all you Biden supporters to give us a call here, and the number is 516-418-5996. And we yet to hear from you folks, and we understand why, because from what I understand is that the Justice Department went to Biden's residence, and they seized some classified documents of when he was the vice president up under Barack Obama, you know, who really didn't do anything, you know, for us as the people, I'm sorry to say. And this is the problem, you know.
He helped out the LGBTQ people, though. He didn't do nothing for black people, but he sure helped out the LGBTQ motherfuckers. Fuck that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, sir.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
They're always ready to do for them. They're always ready to do something for them, but they refuse to do anything for the people that matter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. You see, and then the cold part about it is that all this hatred in regard to reparations, okay, is because as we do know is that California, you know, is in the process of approving the reparations, and I want to crumb bomb on two of the biggest ass scratches to ever walk the planet, and that there would be Larry Elders and Leo Terrell. Now, Leo Terrell says is that he's going to practice an attorney and is that he's going to go to court, okay, and that he's going to try to prevent the reparations in California from happening. Now, you know, these clowns always say, well, you weren't born a slave, you know, so that doesn't happen and all that. And then his co-ass scratching Larry Elders, who sat up there publicly and stated that it was all right for the slave owners who lost the slaves to get reparations because they, quote, unquote, lost property. And I just find it, you know, incredible of how these Negroes, you know, will sit up there, man, and will go for this garbage. I mean, are they that so desperate for acceptance by OTBs that they will go up there and do this? But, you know, and as General Rommel has suggested, the Anchorman has suggested that we play Brother Malcolm for our intro, you know, with the House Negro. And these are two classic cases of House Negroes right here, you see. And then also, too, Larry Elders, when you was running for governor in the recall against Gavin Newsom that you lost, and I'm glad that you lost, you had told a lie, Mr. Elders. You said that you was from South Central Los Angeles. No, Mr. Elders, you're from the Crenshaw district, which is way, way west of South Central. So, Mr. Elders, you cannot even get your lies straight. And you and your colleague, Terrell, are both welcome to call this number at 516-418-5996. And we would love to have you on here because we have had well-known personalities on this podcast. We have had scholars on this podcast in the past. And then, Mr. Elders, you know, if you could find time, and when we know that you hate yourself, okay, it's because you're going through a syndrome, that of the house niggas, Brother Malcolm had just spoke of, okay, but we will show you respect and what have you. And then Pianchi, we know Pianchi, we're familiar with you, Pianchi, and I say it again, I tried to apologize to you. You refused to accept my apology, so therefore, Mr. Pianchi, I got two words to say for you. Fuck you. Because you are a coon.
That's right.
And an ass catcher.
That's right.
And a yassa boss. Mm-hmm. You sit up there, Pianchi, talking this crap about that we're American. And like I said, show me where we in mass had wanted to come to America other than, you know, by the slave trade. Now, do you have those who stated that we were already here? Now, I'm kind of researching that is because I'm finding evidence. Now, this is just me, Joe. I'm finding evidence, yeah, and then I'm finding also evidence that contradicts it is because, as we all know, Columbus, you know, he didn't discover nothing. He was a drunk. He was filthy. He had no morals, you know. From what I understand, you know, Abu Bakari, okay, he came here like in the 1300s, you know, before Columbus. And for what I understand is that Abu Bakari was also the older brother of Mansa Musa, okay, who was the ruler of the Songhai Empire. And research that I've done is that Abu Bakari, you know, went to sea, and he left Mansa Musa in charge of the Songhai Empire. And the Songhai Empire, you know, was quite vast and what had. And then also, too, to all you individuals that was sending me insults, you know, in regard to the protest that was in Richmond, Virginia on Dr. King's birthday, and you clowns said, you niggas don't deserve reparations, go get a job. I said, okay. And you said, and I asked, yeah, you seen that brother Chad? Yeah. And I said, okay, go get a job from who? Oh, and you're going to come back to me talking about that Burger King and Walmart is hiring. Well, you see, idiot, caucasoids, we're not talking about working for no Burger King or none of your businesses. Right. We're about building up our own infrastructures on commerce. We're about building up our own infrastructures on education. We're about building up our own infrastructures on self-defense. And so quite naturally, of course, you know, I praise the brothers who went out there to Richmond, Virginia, you know, bringing up reparations on Dr. King's birthday. And then for all of you who said that there was an insult to Dr. King's legacy, remember that the good doctor had stated shortly before his murder that he led his people into a burning house with integration. So this makes him a great man is because he realized his mistake. The man knew his time was limited, and he tried his best to correct the mistake. And the irony of it is that our people go out here to get hit with police dogs, fire hoses, police brutality, bashed upside the head, like old John Lewis said that he was looking for good trouble. And he shows this picture of him laid out, stretched out, you know what I'm saying? And he's talking about this is good trouble. But however, when a man exercised the Second Amendment rights in California in 1967, you all called him a terrorist. And then you had a terrorist by the name of John Edgar Hoover that ran an organization called the FBI, and he put together an illegal program called COINTELPRO. But y'all hate on Dr. Newton, who put his life on the line, him, Bobby Seale, Little Bobby Hutt, the Forte Brothers, and Big Man, okay, who were the original six. And then, of course, you know, Chapters had came up in Los Angeles with Geronimo Pratt, who was the president of the L.A. chapter. And then, you know, members of his crew there got into a shootout. Say that again.
Said Jim Carwaro, Lauren Watson, Sekou, Chairman Sekou.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Indeed, indeed, indeed. And they had chapters in Seattle, Washington. They had chapters in Denver, Colorado. They had a chapter there in Chicago, Illinois. They had a chapter definitely there in New York City with the Panther 21 trial. And, of course, you know, that's where Tupac's mom was, the Finish of Court. You know, they were falsely imprisoned. Okay. They got out. I certainly hope that they sued the shit out of the city and county of New York and the state of New York for being falsely imprisoned. Reading Mr. Seale's memoirs is that a lot of the members of the party were arrested and put in jail on bogus charges. And then when the cases were dismissed against them, and as soon as they get to the sidewalk, they were rearrested. Again, so once again, you know, you got systemic false imprisonment. You see what I mean? And then not to mention the fact for, you know, all you cockazoids out there who's talking about, oh, well, you know, we want to integrate Dr. King was great and all this old type of business. You know what I'm saying? He told you he made a mistake and let our people into a point. Yeah, and you made a mistake. Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, we got a call here, 646, the last four, 0647. Okay, we're going to unmute your mic.
Okay, how do
okay,
I do
caller,
that?
646. Here, yes, sir. Right. Okay, good evening.
True Devon, True Devon. His name is True Devon. Peace, True Devon. Welcome to our podcast. Oh. This is Sabaka's Black Experience in the East. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, peace to y'all. Peace to everybody. Peace. How y'all
yes,
doing
sir.
Out there?
Yes, sir. What was your name, yes, sir?
New York.
Yeah, I'm in New York, yes. I like the Black Panthers. I like y'all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, y'all are
okay.
Black Panthers.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I like y'all.
Oh, yeah. New York,
that
New York with Burrow.
What you all, everybody speaking at the same time. What did you say?
Which borough are you in?
Right now I'm in Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I've never been in New York City. You know, the furthest east that I got back was Chicago, Illinois. Okay, but of course, you're there in New York where the Panther 21 trial went down. You're also there where Brother Malcolm had left his legacy and what have you there in the 1960s. And what is your name again, sir?
My name is True Devon, Almighty True Devon Law.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay, okay. It's definitely a pleasure to have you there, Mr. True Devon, and thank you so very, very much for joining us this evening. Okay, so what we're discussing here is homelessness, the Second Amendment, and the mass shooting. Now, you know, you had a mass shooting there out of my neck of the woods, the Southern California in L.A. County, and then you also had another one up there near Monterey, California, there near Santa Cruz and what have you. Okay, now, with the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms and what have you, quite naturally, of course, there's a lot of people, you know, calling, you know, to have people not have guns, okay? But supposedly, this inalienable Second Amendment says is that this right is inalienable and the people have a right, you know, to have adequate supply of ammunition and arms and to protect themselves against those who will attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. And also, too, that we're also going to be talking about, you know, what happened down there in Atlanta, Georgia as well, too, because they wanted to build a cop city and people got upset about it and, you know, they let their voices be heard. And then also, too, we're going to talk about the San Francisco Police Department, which is right across the bay from Oakland, having robot dogs. You ready for this? Robot dogs.
I see it on the internet. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And then, of course, as we all know, the San Francisco Police Department are the ones that had murdered Mario Woods, who was only 5'7", weighing 147 pounds. And the Attorney General at that time of the state of California did not intervene. And you commonly know her today as Kamala Harris, who is the current Vice President of the United States. Okay, now, so with all this here being known to us, black folks, what can we do to counterman this? And the first thing the children up out of these public indoctrination centers, you see what I mean, is because this is where they're learning, you know, all this madness from, you know, gangs, drug usage, what have you, constantly being sent to detention, is because the only thing they're doing is just prepping them, you know, to go to the penitentiary. You see what I mean? And you do not have to be guilty to be incarcerated, you see. And then you got these tramps like Marjorie Greene or whatever, what her name is, you know, like Hillary Clinton, was, you know, they're super predatory and this, that, there, the other. Then, of course, the effeminization of the black male, Billy Porter, what have you, what Dwayne Wade is trying to do to his son and thing is this nature right there. And so what happens is that when you take the black male up out of the home, okay, the young black males, you know, they don't have no role models to patternize themselves after. But however, I did speak with a sister recently, and hopefully she will call in, and she says, you know, that her husband had passed away, and she raised her son, you know, into being, you know, a prime example of a man. So, sister, if you're out there, you know, definitely please give us a call here at 516-418-5996 and shed some light on that. And that there is truly a blessed thing right there. And I believe sister had stated that she had her dad in the home when she was coming up. So this was probably her point of reference. And then, of course, Brother Che, you remember when we did an episode a few years ago called Inner City Blues and Black Parenting, yeah, when we had the Sambo Rambo Negro on there that you labeled him as, you know what I'm saying? And this dude has a hatred for black women. And the sisters got on there, and they roasted his ass as well as they should. Yeah. You see? So, So what's happening is, okay, with these mass shootings, okay, like what happened there in Los Angeles recently, also too, like what happened here in Las Vegas, Nevada a few years back, you know, guys like Dylan Roof, and what's his name, Shit in the House, who traveled across state lines to go to Milwaukee to go kill people who they didn't convict, okay, and... And then it here says that now if I got this hypocritical document called the U.S. Constitution right about the Second Amendment that the people have a right to arm themselves against injustice, then black family, that's what we need to do. And also, too, you know, and I encourage, you know, all responsible gun owners. Oh, yes, sir, you most certainly can.
Okay, what I want to say about that is it's all good to arm yourself, General, but food for thought. Man, them motherfuckers is ready for you to do some dumb shit with them guns so they can kill your ass and commit revolutionary suicide for real. So, I mean, it's all good to arm yourself, but, I mean, don't do nothing stupid because these motherfuckers is ready to kill the motherfucker, drop a bomb on your ass and all kind of crazy shit. They got drones, all kind of shit. And they ready to give motherfuckers a murder case for more people who are innocent, General. They ready to tie a motherfucker into a murder that they had nothing to do with. You know what I'm saying? Injustice.
Oh, exactly.
Real, General. So just while we see injustice, we need to keep in mind that there's a force and energy called injustice out there. And it's like today's the 24th, right? The 24th letter in the alphabet is X, and that's the X factor. That's the unexpected. You always got to prepare for the unexpected, General, and things that you don't understand, the things you know, because we have an understanding on civilization and things of sense that make sense, right? But there's a whole different world called nonsense, and corruption, general, and there's no understanding to those things, so we got to be prepared for those forces when they attack, but mentally and physically, not just through arms, because them motherfuckers is vicious, general. I just would hate for people to be arming themselves and doing dumb shit and get killed off, you know, for no reason. You see me?
Right. Yes, sir.
Lady K is joining us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hi.
My brother.
Hey, what's going on with you?
Sorry. Sorry, I'm late. What did I miss?
Okay, no, we're talking about homelessness, the Second Amendment, and the mass shootings that, you know, had happened out there in California recently. And then also, too, okay. Because I'm seeing across the net here, a lot of people are calling for, you know, to ban guns. And I'm saying is that if you're going to ban guns, then disarm the police department. You know what I'm saying? And then also, too, we got a caller from area code 602. Okay, and the last four is 8664. So we're going to unmute their mic and have them join us as well, too. Okay, area code 602. Okay, the last four is... Okay,
hey,
who's that there calling?
Show. This is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Jamel.
Peace family. How are you? How's everybody?
Okay, how you doing, sir, my brother?
Good, thank you, brother.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? Yeah, and thank you for joining us, man. So very much. Yes, sir. So we're discussing homelessness. You know, the homelessness crisis here in the United States is because, as you know, they lifted the moratorium that they had a few months back where, you know, they had put a moratorium on evictions, and then old Hyde and Biden, you know, he lifted it. So what they're doing is that they're going to evict people, you know, who are delinquent on their rent, because they're going to tell them that they got so much time to pay up, and then, of course, with the amount of delinquency, it's going to be practically impossible. So they're going to be added to the homeless situation even more so than quite natural. Of course, they're going to raise the rents up on the new tenants coming in, because this way how they're going to say, well, you know, I got to make up for my loss and all of that. But when it comes to the general public, you don't want to make up for their loss. And then, of course, we're talking about, you know, what happened down there in Atlanta, Georgia recently, you know, over the last few days, okay, where they had wanted to divert funding, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, folks, that they had wanted to take the money from the homeless project and put it off into what they called Cop City. And then also, too, we're discussing that the San Francisco Police Department, okay, they're developing robot dogs. So when they get barricaded suspects, instead of sending in a SWAT team, they're going to send in an electronic dog, which will probably have some type of incendiary device or explosive device, you know, to blow it up. So this here just goes to show that the tyranny. Yes, sir, go ahead.
You know, with Micah Johnson in Dallas, Texas, back in 2016, they sent in a robot. I don't know if it was a robot dog, but they sent robot to kill him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then, you know, and Micah Johnson, as we all know, you know, was a war veteran. Okay. And from what I understand, that deal was probably right after the Orlando Castillo case, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Check.
Yeah, it was around that time.
Yeah, and of course you do know the case of Mr. Castillo, you know, who was licensed to carry. He got stopped by the police department, him and his lady friend Diamond Reynolds. He did tell the police officer he was in fact armed. He tried to produce his card, you know, proving that he could carry a weapon, and he was shot and killed by Yanez. And Yanez, you know, should be in jail for murder one. In my opinion, because when the man said, then when the man said that he's licensed to carry and he's trying to show documentation, Yanez put four rounds in Mr. Castillo, in the passenger seat of his vehicle and that of Ms. Diamond Reynolds, and their baby was in the back seat. So Yanez didn't even have no regard, you know, for the child that was in the car. You see what I'm saying? and then the Los Angeles Police Department, which I call one of the biggest terrorist organizations. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then, of course, we remember. Yes, sir. And then, of course, we remember Dorner. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Dorner in Los Angeles, who was, in fact, the LAPD officer himself, who had reported misconduct. And what had happened was that those who was representing him out of the LAPD Protective League, which is their union, had lied on him, a police captain, didn't turn in proper paperwork to Dorner. You know, who was a former Navy SEAL, you know, who had special skills. He had went on a rampage, and then he had proved the LAPD to be the cowards that they was, because a couple of days after this, when he was on this, there was a mother and her daughter out delivered newspapers to Los Angeles Times, to be exact, real early in the morning, that they were accosted by two lap dogs who put, like, I believe, over 36 rounds into their pickup truck. And fortunately, the woman and her daughter was not harmed, okay, and thanks to the Almighty for that. And then from what I understand is that the district attorney at the time, and I forgot his name, I don't know if it was George Gascon or his predecessor, say the reason that he did not file charges against these LAPD officers is that they were too stupid and too scared of when they did this, so he didn't prosecute them. Well, if they were that stupid and that scared, then it seems to me as that their training process, their review process comes into highly, highly questionable. Let's be real.
Some people always
don't have to be no rock
star
or anything of that caliber to be a police officer. You literally have to be in the academy for 6 months. You don't even have to have a high school diploma. Like, the people that they're hiring are complete morons.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I believe George Orwell had said it best about the police guard in his book, 1984, although we're almost 40 years past 1984, but the book was written in 1949, where he said, police guard, you are chosen for superior brawn and lack of intelligence, and you will be suspicious of everyone, quote unquote, everyone. And then, of course, as we do know, is that they do have quotas to fill, because each time they make an arrest, each time they write you a citation, of course, these here go off into public records, and this is how they're assessed to keep their jobs. You see what I mean?
Yeah, they got a quota they got to meet, so they're doing all kind of judgment in general. They're doing all kind of judgment. You know what I'm saying? They just concerned about their quota, man. They don't give a fuck about life. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They have a lot.
Exactly. Yes, sir. And then, you know, to prove the point, you know, even further, gentlemen, is that I had got a ticket going down the hill, right? And, of course, you know, at the bottom of the hill was a stop sign, right? So just off the law of averages, man, if you go into a stop sign downhill, what is the odds of you coming to a full and complete stop? I would say
one to none, right?
Yeah. So it's a 78% chance that you're going to do what they call a bump and roll, which is, you know, you put your foot on a brake, you don't see no opposing traffic coming, so you go on there and proceed across the sign. So, you know, I was given a ticket, and I told the California Highway Patrol officer, I says that you pretty much are out here trying to fill your quota, right? And I says, hey, man, could you do me a favor, man, and not show up in court so therefore the case can get thrown out? You know, I mean, you wrote your ticket. You see what I'm saying? Oh, no. You know, I got to show up. So I go to court. And he was standing there, you know, front and center, you know, all nice and proud, you know, looking at me, yeah, like I got this nigga right here on the ticket. So the court says you can do one of two things. You can go fight your case, or you can go to traffic school, you know, and give us an absorbent amount, I think, of about $300, I think. And then the ticket will be dismissed. Exactly, General. That's exactly what I'm saying. That is exactly what it is.
They,
on your
they
head.
Just want to harass a motherfucker, man. They're just trying to harass a motherfucker, General. Put a motherfucker, you know,
yes, sir.
On that course stand, General. Fuck the motherfuckers, man.
Well, I had a situation happen last week, this time on a Tuesday, coming from New York City. I'm Lord Jamel. I'm resting in South Carolina. 602 is my Arizona home base, but I'm out here on the West East Coast for a couple of times, mending my mom. However, I had exception to the rule. So I'm riding in North Carolina at 91 miles an hour. I got clocked doing on the 85. I had a reaction, you know, where, and I seen he caught me, so, yo, you can't hang me until you catch me, so he caught me. So I pulled over his
immediately,
hands on the steering wheel, and I said, as he approached me, morning, officer, how are you doing? He says, I just want to let you know that I clocked you at 91 miles an hour. I know you're trying to get home, so have a good day. He didn't ask you for a name, a license, or anything. How's that? How that works?
Oh, man.
That's right there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you got off on that one. Now, here's one for you, gentlemen. You're going to love.
That could have been a reckless driver thing, 91. I was doing 100. I was coming down.
Now, here's one for you.
Just told me that what he did do and whatnot in this nature, and I'll see you trying to get home and have a good morning.
Now, what happened to me up in Washington State, okay? I was in Washington State, okay? And I was outside of Olympia, and I'm looking at a road map that, and I'm following this road that takes you directly to the Pacific Ocean, because I've never seen the Pacific Ocean up above San Francisco, okay? I know it was there, but I just wanted to go see the place, you know what I mean? So I go out there outside of a place called Aberdeen, Washington. So I see the Pacific Ocean, and I go out there to look at it, observe it, and what have you, because I wanted to see some of the killer whales, because from what I understand in that part there of the U.S., what they call the Pacific Northwest, that's where they hang out at. So therefore, I get back on the highway trying to get back to Olympia, Washington, which is the closest place of civilization near there, because I'm out there, you know, in the middle of the trees, good old boys, you know what I'm saying, cluxes, you know, white militias, you know, probably some of the old keepers, you know, we know the scenario. So I go over a hill, I'm doing 75 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, okay, because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, beat the sun down, you know, sundown town, you know what I mean? And so out of the middle of nowhere, here comes the Washington State Police. So just like my brother said, I just went over and pulled over, took the keys off, put up on the dashboard, and I stuck my hands up out of the window on the driver's side, although the officer came up there on the passenger side, and, you know, license, insurance, and what have you. So I handed it to him. You know, he walked back to his vehicle. Okay, he states to me, as I signed the citation, he says, well, you know, you're doing 75, and I made it at 70, because anything over 70, I'm supposed to take you to jail for reckless drive. So I go down there, pay the ticket, you know what I'm saying, and this is the only moving violation that I ever had in my 35 years plus drive, you know what I mean? And what have you. So I went there, took the ticket, and I got up out of there as quick as I can. And as soon as I got back to Olympia, Washington, I got out. Thank the ancestors that I was still here on the planet, you know, because that could have been very, very tragic. And then, of course, as we do know, when you get into the rural areas, I don't care where you're at. I don't care if it's Georgia. I don't care if it's Nevada. I don't care if it's Arizona. Or Montana and what have you, you know, you have to be very, very careful, because I'm of the opinion that anytime that somebody has a job where they can legally carry a firearm, they just dying to use. And I believe Dr. Newcastle said it is in his memoirs when he had a situation there in October of 1967 where he himself was shot.
Well, did you tell him?
Nah, that ain't me. That ain't me, General. I don't know who fell asleep. It sounds like True Devon.
True Devon, did you pass
okay,
out on
somebody to fall asleep? Okay.
Yeah, you hear it?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's True Devon. True Devon, wake up.
We got a Denver caller.
Yeah. Yeah, I see we got a caller here out of Denver. Okay, 720, last 48135. You just press 1. You know, we'll be happy to unmute your microphone, and you can join in the conversation as well, too. And we appreciate all our callers for calling in. You have called in to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And tonight's episode is homelessness and Second Amendment and mass shootings. Okay, so we're going to unmute that mic. Okay. All righty. Okay, there. The Denver caller there. 720, last 48135. What's your name and where are you calling from? And it's quite obvious, Denver by the area code.
My name is Jakai, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Okay, and what's your name, ma'am?
This is Jakai.
Oh, Jakai. Kai. Okay, Jakai. Yeah, what's on your mind? How you doing? Okay.
Very good,
all righty, Kai. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All righty. Yeah, okay, I believe, yeah, this is the sister who I sent the phone number to earlier today, okay, when she saw the, you know, the advertisement that we were doing. And tonight's subject, ma'am, is homelessness, the Second Amendment, and mass shooting. So, you know, we're talking about the human rights violation of homelessness itself, you know, with people, you know, not making enough money to maintain a home. And then, of course, you have those who are out maintaining their existence. You know, living in tents and what have you, you know, building encampments. And Brother Chase, you know, Jesse Parrish, who's running for mayor of Denver, Colorado, you know, that's one of his main issues on his agenda, you know, is to help ease homelessness in Denver, Colorado, and in particular this time of year in areas like Denver where it snows. Because out in the west, you know, when you get into California, it will get cold. You see, but it would not go down like to 10, 15 degrees or what have you. So what's on your mind, Sister Kai?
Sister Kai?
Yeah, General, if I could, I'd like to hear Brother Jamel's. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask some questions to Lord Jamel. Lord Jamel, why do you think that, you know, being that there's so much money being outsourced, you know, to Ukraine, like $76 trillion, why is there a homeless problem when they can insource the money and get rid of the homelessness?
When you have the wealthy owns 80%, 90% of the land in America, you can see why. They bloodsuckers of the poor. I mean, I traveled through the rural areas here in South Carolina, throughout Arizona. There's a bunch of land available. But again, too, mm-hmm. you have a certain individuals that own that land. All they want to see, well, I own the land as far as your eyes can see, but they don't want to give up nothing to the poor, God. You know what I mean? That's just what it is.
Right.
Sending the money to Ukraine, as we know. You know, it's a white-on-white war right now. You know what I'm saying? Taking it back to the Vikings, the Balkans days, AP, and as it was in the beginning, so it should be in the ending. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Well,
and
absolutely.
And it's homeless. You know, I mean, again, it plays a key role with population control just the same. You know, they got people on all up and through the West, all through Arizona, all up and through the West, Northwest, California. All you see is a drug and they have decriminalized it. It could be random. You can just do it at will. Police don't do anything. I've seen it. You know what I mean? So, again, too,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's the lifestyle. When not some all-time what you do is the lifestyle and could kill you. And, again, they're trying to eradicate as many people as they possibly can through the fools.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. And then even with the GMOs that they have on farmland.
Yes, sir.
Just like with the GMOs, because there was a guy, you know, who's a doctorate. Okay, I don't know his area of study, but he definitely had a lot of knowledge about genetically modified products. Okay. As you know, Monsanto produces these GMOs. And then what happened was, is the doctor was explaining, I think his name is Dr. Ken Adams, is that when the plant life, you know, comes about, they're going to kick off spores, you see. So as the spores get caught up in the San Joaquin Valley wind, which is the world's largest wind tunnel, they will go land on other crops, you know, miles away. And then what happens is when those spores land on those crops automatically become, you know, property of Monsanto. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, you've got copyrights and stuff like that, you know, and it's downright diabolical. And this is why, you know, it's very, very important that our black professionals and our black scientists and what have you become very, very conscious of what's going on. You see what I'm saying? You know, to counterman this bullshit. You see what I mean? It's because, you know, it is genocide, you know, any way that you want to call it. You see what I'm saying? And then, of course, too, like we were speaking about in regard to the Second Amendment as well, two of those, you know, who was exercising their Second Amendment rights, you know, there in Washington, D.C. on Dr. King's birthday, and the hatred, you know, that I was directed towards me on my comments, I reported it to Facebook. Then, of course, Facebook says, oh, no, they didn't go against our community standards. But as soon as I said one, man, you know, my page is getting hit with red flags. Well, what you're saying goes against our community standards and this, that, bad. I mean, you know, not, and what's that there, Brother Chair? I've been in Facebook jail, what, 5 times now? And I think the last one I did was, what, 30 days? Yeah. And then after that one there, then they simply tear down your page. You see what I mean? So then this here just goes to show is that these trillionaires, and keep in mind, you got trillions that go through Silicon Valley. And as we all know, $1 trillion is $1 billion. You see what I mean?
Right.
And then you got these guys playing space cowboy like Bezos and them and whatnot. So what they need to do the next time they go into outer space is do humanity as a whole a favor and just simply fly directly to the sun and blow up. And then also, yeah, and blow up. And then just like, yes, sir. And then just like Tweety Bird, you know, Elon Musk, who bought it for $44 billion, and he sent him and you left and right. And then, of course, you know, if you crumble him on this alternative agenda, you know, then they want to call us homophobic and stuff like that. And as soon as we tell them that they are heterophobic, then we get hit with suspension. So you can see how systemically of how these tech giants are trying to mold public opinion, okay, also to force us who are not with that agenda to go with it. You see what I mean?
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, how is a dude going to come up there and say that you got to identify him as a woman? Because, see, that's the city law. And the county law you have in both San Francisco County and in Alameda County as well, too. You see, you would do 90 days in the city jail up there. You would do 90 days there in the county jail up there. If you was to call a man, because he's got on a dress in the 5 o'clock shadows talking about he's a woman. And this fool cannot ovulate. He cannot menstruate. And he cannot bear children. And me personally, I think it's an insult, you know, to natural women. My opinion. So how do you feel about that there, Sister Kai? You know, let's hear, you know, what the sister got to say. Sister Kai?
Well, good. I would like to add to that. I absolutely agree. I'm very much troubled by the money that they're sending to Ukraine, and I know that I heard that there was money going to Taiwan as well, like thousands of dollars. Every time I look up, every 4 to 6 months, you hear about them passing a massive spending bill, billions of dollars, and there's nothing in it for the American people. And we are the ones that are saying, you know, I mean, $20 for a pack of meat, you know, $5 a gallon. I mean, there's no relief for us. And so I'm definitely offended by that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And this is yes, ma'am. Please continue.
Oh, I'm definitely offended by that, and I don't know. It's just it has me thinking who raised these people, because these are the people that they continue to put in office, that they're continuing to vote for, and I'm like, there's no relief for us. There's nothing. I currently work for a government agency, and I was responsible for helping a bunch of immigrants that came into the city. And to my it was just very interesting, because if you were born and raised in this state, the housing list is 5+ years. But if you came here as an immigrant, they was requesting that we find you housing right away. If you were born here, you can barely get, you know, you can barely get anything. But they were giving them $5,000 and $10,000 cards, Visa cards, you know. So it was just, I just didn't know. I just couldn't figure out the logic. It was very disappointing to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
and then to prove your point,
we don't support our own. We got to run our own candidates if we want anything from this political system. We have to run people that come from the soil, that can relate to the struggle, have lived experience with the shit. But they won't even let us get on the ballot. It's not that crucial.
Right.
Somebody is super scared.
You know,
we ask for the right people.
You got to keep in mind as well, over 300 million people in this country, and we only occupy 15% of the population. I mean,
every 20, 30 years or so, our classification changes.
Yeah,
like on my it said black.
Right.
It didn't say Negro. It didn't say colored. It didn't say African American. It said black on my original birth certificate. Now they call them certificates of live birth, but my original birth certificate, it said black.
Well, mine's in 1958 is colored.
See, that's what I mean. Like every 20, 30 years, it changes. Now it's foundational black. American chattel is descended of chattel slavery. Every generation, it seems, it changes. Because that Jesse Jackson shit was an African-American. I don't resonate with that.
No,
right.
Not at all.
And then later... And later for Jesse Jackson.
I'll tell you what I struggle with. I actually struggle with currently, because I don't know, myself and my uncle, he's a historian, and we had a very interesting conversation recently. And basically, you know, my uncle gave me his perspective, and we were talking about Martin Luther King, and my uncle gave me his perspective, and I agreed with him. But basically, my uncle said that he grew up in the Jim Crow South, and we are born and raised from St. Louis, and he grew up in a Jim Crow South, and he basically stated that that black people had what they needed, and we took pride in what we had back then. And so, and he was like, basically, he said that a lot of the black people that were in the South, you know, particularly did not want to go with Martin Luther King's movement, because they felt like Martin Luther King wanted them to think that what white people had was better, that it wasn't so much equal because we had equal rights. We had our own schools. We had our own churches. We were teaching our own kids.
Right.
And, you know, so they felt like, you know, so my uncle, he was very vocal about that whole movement, the civil rights movement. And he was just like, basically, he he thought that it was kind of somewhat a waste of time, because he said that he thought that we would have been further had we stayed together, and he made examples of did stay together, you know, like the Hispanic race and like the Asians, and you know, but we, he was like,
right,
basically we wanted, you know, we and built our own communities, built our own churches, built our own schools, and stuck together in our own community, then we would have, you know, that we would have been better off. And he made examples like the Hispanics, you know, like they, you know, mm-hmm. they don't bother with free rights, you know, they don't bother with equal rights and so on and so forth. They pretty much just stay in their lane. And they're succeeding by doing that.
Right.
Well, they get off of the and ass whoopings and murders that we had to experience just to get those rights of minority.
Right.
They go under the guise of minority. The majority.
Right.
They're not about the numbers.
Right.
How is it what if the numbers have been at, what, 13 to 15% for the past 30, 40 years?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know we're seriously undercounted. Like,
exactly.
Something adds up, and
exactly.
We've been here since the very beginning. We're more native to this land than the so-called natives, the $5 Indians.
Okay, but however, off of research that I've done, you know, that you did have a great deal of them, you know, who were brought here, is because there was a brother down there, I think near Bermuda in the Virgin Islands, and what they were doing was is that they were, scuba diving. No, it's two sisters. I'm sorry. It was two sisters, not biological sisters, but two black women that are scuba divers. And what they were doing is that they were going down to the ocean floor and that they were pulling up the remnants, you know, of those who were thrown overboard, you know, slave shackles and what have you, certain artifacts, you know, that it came of, you know, from the continent. And then keep in mind, as we all know, that Christopher Columbus didn't discover nothing. He was a savage. He was a drunk. You see what I mean? The fool got lost because he thought he was going to China. And then he came across, you know, the continent of North America, Central America, and South America. And these public indoctrination centers, they don't want to give our youth the true history of themselves, is because they don't want to know, want us to know the great legacies that we come from. And Professor George G.M. James had wrote off in his book that I'm yet to finish about why is it that you never heard of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle until they went to Kemet, and that they were stealing knowledge from Kemet, claiming that it was Greek, okay? Now, in my opinion, that the only thing them individuals did was create and spread, you know, homosexuality and disease, and they didn't pay. You see, well, we had to show them how to wash their natural, stinking, foul acid. You see what I'm saying? So I can imagine with the British, the French, and the Dutch royalty was like in the 1400s, 1500s, you know, when they had the Spanish Inquisition. And then that also coincided with the bubonic plague as well, too. It wiped out half of Europe. But as Trump, you know, as the dump, you know, or the orange man had said that our people come from a bunch of quote-unquote shithole countries. But it's very, very interesting is that China, the United States, France, Great Britain, Belgium benefit from the natural resources of these shithole countries. Let's look at silicon. Silicon is that raw material that you have off in these laptops, these cell phones that they're tracking you with. You see what I mean? And then Elon Musk wants to put memory chips in your brain so you can pick your favorite music on iTunes, you know, and falling for that. But yes, so we come from shithole country. You see, so this is just goes to show is that they have double speaking, talking out of both sides, you know, out of their mouth. It's all about corporate greed. You see what I'm saying? And you have in no regard for human beings. And also, too, Sister Ty, I don't know, are you familiar with Larry Alders and Leo Terrell, Sister Ty?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I saw a news clip recently, okay, it's because, you know, I grew up in the state of California. California is going to have, they're going to be kicking out the reparations, right? So I'm getting ready to prepare paperwork of my family history, and I will be going to Sacramento to knock on the door. Hey, Gruesom Newsom or whoever's in charge of this, hey, here's my paperwork. The Senator Slade from Montgomery, Alabama, I need to get paid now. Leo Terrell and Larry Elders are going to sit up there and say that it's wrong and that the act is illegal. And then just like Brother Malcolm said in our intro tonight, you know, that you had chosen Brother Ramel, and we are going to make adjustments on what you and I discussed off the air about, yeah, the field Negro and the house Negro. And he's too Negro. Yes, sir.
We got a caller.
Oh, okay.
Caller from 646-0647. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Tulivan.
Yes.
Tulivan?
This is Tulivan, yes.
Oh, okay, Tulivan. You have
to stop calling asleep on the call, Tulivan.
Come again?
Hey. I said, you stop calling the rest on the call.
Sure do.
Okay, all righty.
Okay. A question. About Leo Terrell and...
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah. Leo Terrell and Larry Alders. And these are two of the most brain dead plantation Negroes that I've ever seen. And keep in mind, both of these men are lawyers, right? So this here is a classic case of what Carter G. Woodson was saying about the miseducation of the Negro. It's because they're saying that California is wrong to give out reparations and just quote-unquote saying, well, none of you niggas is never slaves. You don't deserve reparations. This, that, there, the other. And then also to another tragedy in California that we talked about, Manhattan Beach, which was land stolen from a black family over 100 years ago. Their descendants went on and gave the land back to Los Angeles County. And that there, you know, is incredible. You know, so once again, you know, the chain is no longer on our body, but it is on our brain. And we all know that land is a factor of production, you see. And then the cold part about it is that when we sit up there and try to address this, oh, well, you know, you're a black racist and all this other type of crap, you know what I mean? And that's not the case. Now, also, too, I want to crumb bomb on the state of Florida and their governor. Okay. Governor DeSantis, you are welcome to call. Okay. All right. If we're going to minimize the background noise, please self-mute until we, you know, please self-mute. You know, to minimize the background noise and join in the conversation, you know, anytime you're ready. Okay. All right. But Governor DeSantis saying is about this critical race theory because he banned all black studies in the state of Florida. Okay. All right. So I guess what his curriculum would be for black people in the state of Florida is Amos and Andy, fools like Elders and Terrells, or I'm going to call them educated fools, is because both of these men hold doctorate degrees in jurisprudence. Seemed to me that these would be the main ones, you know, educating people of how they can get their reparation. You see what I'm saying? And then on the hateful stuff that I was doing, you know, when they were protesting in Richmond, Virginia on Dr. King's birthday, you know, where a group of brothers, you know, was demanding the reparations. And then you saw all the hater race, you know what I'm saying, from white America,
come up there and say, well, you niggers were never slaves, you know, you don't deserve no reparations and all that. But what about the Irish? Well, it's very interesting is that you got a whole lot of black people that goes by the slave names of McDonald, McGee, Shaughnessy, you know what I'm saying? So that tells me that you were owning slaves as well, too, you see. And we got some background noise there, you know, okay? So please put yourself on self-mute, you know, until you're ready to talk. And then, of course, unmute yourself, you know, to minimize the background noise. Okay, but see, but this here just goes to show is of the mindset of how our people are being miseducated. Why is it that when people come to the United States from other nations, like in Europe, in Asia, you know, they're more than welcome to talk about their culture and what have you. But then when we sit up here and talk about our cultures and all of it.
Is that Ramel
719-0481? Yeah. Yeah, Ramel is 719.
Yeah, this is Ramel. This is Ramel. This is Ramel. I'm listening.
Yes, sir. Okay, all righty. And so, therefore, you know, and it's just very, very interesting of the brainwash, you know, that has happened, you know, to a lot of our scholars and what have you, you see. And it's very interesting, then, when I see people from other countries, they go to school, man, they learn, and they take their knowledge back to their communities and start their own businesses and what have you. And there's nothing wrong with that, you see. There's nothing wrong with that of being self-sufficient. You see, but the hateration that I got, you know, on Facebook and what have you, and I'm talking to you, Zuckerberg, over there in Menlo Park, California, over there, and he's in Santa Clara County, I believe. Okay. And then when I try to respond back, you know, to this hatred in a like way, I'm getting all these warnings that we're going to suspend your account. So what I did was is that I reported the hateration comments that was coming my way, and the reports come back, oh, they didn't violate community standards. They didn't violate community standards. And then I found it very interesting. They talked about, well, Martin Luther King this, Martin Luther King that, you know, he called for integration and all this other type of stuff. But what you all are forgetting is that what he said, surely before his death, he made a mistake of leading our people into the burning house of integration. They said, but they don't want us to know that. So you see, you kind of like got, you know, two different standards here. And then also, too, you know, just like.
They don't want us to know that he woke up, realized it was not a dream. It was a nightmare.
Right.
And
right.
It was going to be a burning house. He realized that after meeting with Malcolm.
And yes, sir. Malcolm. You know, and I believe. Yes, sir. I believe Elder McChesnik, you know, had mentioned that there. You know, the Elder had mentioned that. You see what I'm saying? And then, unfortunately, you know, what happened to him April 4th, 1968, although I was a child at the time, but I do remember the date very, very vividly. And then Dick Gregory, you know, had did some lectures on that, you know, in regard to Dr. King's assassination, where he had showed the individual talking who stated that, yeah, we were on the balcony and we stepped off to the side, and then that's when they went on and shot Dr. King. So that's spelled C-O-N, conspiracy, you know what I'm saying? You know, and we do know the word
yes, sir,
is conspiracy. Okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then,
they're trying to con us, General. General.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's exactly what it was. And then when a man, when a 24-year-old man in the year 1966 in a place called Oakland, California, who went out and exercised his Second Amendment rights, and his organization was also advising the black community about their rights when they were stopped by the police and what have you, they labeled this man a terrorist and his organization terrorists. And then, of course, as we do know about quite a few of them, Tupac Shakur, who's been released after 48 years in prison, and then quite a few of the other brothers who have been released after so long, you know, their whole lives were spent in isolation on the inside. So therefore, that there was part of the counterintelligence program that they had, and they even used it against Dr. King. and then that program, you know, was illegal within itself. You see, so therefore they violated their own laws that they swore to uphold. You see, and then of course you know what happened in Atlanta, Georgia, recently. Okay, and we got some feedback going on right here. Okay, so we're gonna ask folks, you know, put yourself on self mute, you know, until you speak, you know, to minimize the background noise. Okay, so now the Second Amendment is supposed to be an inalienable right, where the people are supposed to maintain a status of independence, and they're supposed to have an adequate supply of weapons and ammunition to protect themselves against any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Now, those are not my words. That's George Washington, the first president of the United States. He himself was a slave trader, just like Thomas Jefferson was a slave trader. And then, of course, you know, what Black Friday was all about, where they would take young black girls, strip them naked, put them up on an auction block, and the slave owners would go out there and will purchase these females, okay, you know, for their sons to, quote-unquote, breed more slaves. And then the irony of the situation is that the white woman will go out there and tell a black man, well, you better do it to me or I'm going to tell the master that you raped me. So the brother was damned if he did, damned if he don't. And then, of course, you know, like the heavyweight champion had said back there in 1974, you know, whose birthday was quite recent, by the way, happy birthday, Ali, who stated that, no, we are not brothers, because brothers don't go out there and hang brothers, castrate them, or put their private parts off in their mouth. You see what I mean? And he was hated. And then I recall that the more that he was hated, the more that we loved him, and rightfully so. But then over the years, the whole world comes to love him, you see. And it's just very interesting is that as long as I'm in the corner out here showing a crack of their asses with their sack and shit, calling our women a few words, making these songs, you know, with these crazy ass lyrics, you know, kill a nigga, shoot a nigga, B-I-T-C-A-C-I-T-C. That man, ain't nobody gonna respect you for that. All money ain't good money. And what's her name? You've been watching me, Taylor Green. Was going to go out there and use whose music was that that she was going to use? She threatened to sue her. Was it Jay-Z or was it Dr. Dre? Yeah, there you go. You see what I'm saying? And then she made some derogatory comment on the Tweety Bird. Well, you know, I'm not going to use your music because all it is about self-destruction and all that, and I hate to have to agree with that term because that's what it is. Use that music, gentlemen.
Savagery,
you know,
General. Even that term savagery, they made it out to be something cool. Yeah. Now, if you say you're savage, you're cool. I'm a savage.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Where's the culture and the decency? Where's the refinement? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Lord John Mel is still on it, but can you tell them what days the show comes on and express to the people what the times they air and everything so that way brothers such as John Mel and True Devon could log in?
I'm here, God. Repeat that again, Ron Mel. I need you to stay on.
Yeah. Now, I wanted the brother Shabaka to tell you the days that the show comes on. It comes on Tuesdays, 9 Eastern time, 7 o'clock Mountain time. 6 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Okay, 6 p.m. In the Pacific time zone, 7 p.m. in the Mountain time zone, 8 p.m. in the Central time zone, and 9 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. And
that
then also,
Tuesday,
folks, you know. Yes, sir.
What day is
Tuesday.
That?
Yes, sir.
On Tuesday. All right,
Tuesday,
very well.
Sir.
Where are you at? In California. Are you in California?
Generally, I am a broadcast up out of California, but tonight I'm here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, very well, very well. At the same time zone as California, though, at the present, correct? Pacific Coast time.
Yes, sir, that is correct. Yes, sir. Yeah, Nevada and California are both in the same time zone, which would be the Pacific time zone. Yes, sir, is correct. Now, another thing, though, too, you know, as Dr. King said in one of his speeches, that one of the main things that we need to acquire is land. is because land is a factor of production, and as Brother Che has emphasized as well too, we got to start growing our own food. We got to start, you know, dealing and breeding with our own livestock. We got to come up with defense mechanisms economically and commercially against the, you know, the horrific efforts of Monsanto. Also, too, we got to research these vaccines more. It's because, as you know, Brother Che, we're trying to get Dr. Parks on here with us. You know, Dr. Parks, you know, she specializes in that. And she has a lot of knowledge to drop. And Dr. Parks, if you're out there, ma'am, please get with us when you can. We would love very, very much to have you. And then we want to do a shout-out there to Outlaw Radio, to brothers out there out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, definitely the Black Eye Stand, to Jay Gizzle and them up there in the Pacific Northwest. Definitely shout-out there to Sister Ashe and Brother Zive, research of what they're doing is in regard to researching the laws in regard to our nationality and what have you. You see, is because we might not even be subjugated to these laws. But like as I said, you know, I learned a lot, you know, from the people I work with. I learned a lot from the people that call in, just like the knowledge that Sister Kai has just dropped. You see what I mean? Okay, so, you know, every day, you know, I'm on something, and I'm old someone. So, you know what I mean? I'm on my way out. And it's my job, I feel, to relate the information that I've lived through in my lifetime to the generations after me so they will not repeat the same mistake. And God bless a man like Dr. King, you know, who realized his mistake. You see, and then, of course, you know, when you go tell these individuals that part, they don't want to hear it. You know, they want to come up there and tell this child, well, we're all the same. We're all the same. Okay, so therefore, if we're all the same, then I invite those who are Caucasian to come out here, say within about the next, let me see, what's this here, folks, January? Yeah, come out here in the next 5 months and be sure to leave your sunscreens at home. And to go out there into the desert in about 114 degrees, you know, 98 degrees and what have you, go to Palm Springs, California, which is a mile below sea level, you know, as opposed to a mile high above sea level. And we will show you in about, bet you, 15 minutes or less of how we are not descending. Okay, and then you're going to have to give us the instructions of what to do with your sunburn, because we're not going to leave you out there, but your son will sit up there and leave us. Your son will sit up there and have barbecues with us. That's why they used to call them picnics. You know, go out here and pick a nigga. You know, you go lynch the brother. Have a picnic. Sitting down there eating lunch, watching the person being lynched. Then you take the brother off there, then you burn him up. Who knows, cannibalistic motherfuckers that probably went on there and ate him as well, too. You see what I mean? So this is mad. This is crazy. You see what I'm saying? And so therefore, you know, we owe it to the generations after us, you know, to do better, to protect themselves better. Yes, sir.
So, some kind of culture, some kind of decency, some kind of good example where they can, you know, stand for, stand on. You know what I mean? Because without a foundation, you got nothing, man. It's like trying to build a house of feathers and sticks. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to build a feather with bricks. You know what I mean? And, you know,
yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
It's all about coming together, unity, you know what I'm saying, and trying to move forward as a people, man. You know, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely, because we are all we got. You see, we are all we got.
All we got.
You see what I'm saying? Ain't nobody good coming to favor. Oh, yes,
it's
sir, absolutely.
Justice. Deal with it's a cold world, man.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A cold world, you know?
Yes,
you
sir.
For justice,
and then, of course,
swift, changeable, and remainable. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, remainable. And then, not to mention the fact that everybody wants to sit up here and appropriate for themselves our cultural traits, the music, the fashion, the dress. Exactly. You see what I'm saying? But at the same token, they're not going to sit up there and say nothing about the police murdering us. You see, look what they did to George Floyd. You see what I'm saying? That wasn't nothing but murder.
The bastards killed George Floyd is repelling the verdict.
Yeah, Chauvin. Derek Chauvin is his name.
Well, I do have a comment about the the Ron DeSantis and the you mentioned the curriculum, African American curriculum and such, and I can honestly say I'm on the fence about that because anything that I've genuinely learned that was true, I learned it at home. I didn't. School is indoctrination. You can't really, you know, say anything you learned there didn't help me in my in the real world. So I don't know if that's where we should be trying to target our children. I mean, you know, I mean, even Jewish people, they don't send their kids to regular school to learn about, you know, Jews. They send their kids to their school to learn about their, you know. So I don't think that I don't think that incorporating that with the school system now, because the school system now acts woke. It's just a bunch of woke mess. So I don't think that even incorporating that into the school system would be beneficial for our children. You know, I mean, children, they don't even seem to appreciate that. I just want to teach them something that they will take with them. And, you know, I mean, the values of, like, family, you know, a lot of them don't have mothers and fathers at home, you know, being raised by their grandparents and just, you know, getting back to what was important. Getting back to what was important in life, you know?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And then, too, you know, but you don't necessarily need a building for a classroom. You know, you could have class anywhere. You could have it outside. You could have it in a park. You see what I'm saying? You don't necessarily need a building per se. But I do appreciate, you know, what the sister is saying from on that, because, like I said, we have to develop our own curriculum. And I believe that there was two brothers, PhD candidates out of Louisiana. Well, they were homeschooling some of the kids, and I believe that they were doing like a K-12 curriculum. But anyway, to make a long story short, is that when they went and took the state proficiency test, they passed up everybody in the whole daggone state, you see? So that there's, you know, is support. So that's a pro, you know, on the homeschool. But then again, as the sister was saying, is, okay, well, you know, the parents work, things of this nature right here. But at the same token, we cannot be having them going to the public indoctrination centers, because we're just going to have the public indoctrination, you know, detention.
Right, because at this point, I think that school is going on too long anyway. You know, like I said, my uncle is a historian, and speaking to him, you know, he said that, you know, that's why, you know, mothers and fathers let their kids go to school till about 14, and then after that, you was working because you had, you know, you needed those skills to be able to survive. And what they were teaching you in school was crap.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
General, I want to ask your brother, Lord Jamel. He's about your age. He's an elder, too. How you feel about that, Lord Jamel? Homeschooling, if you're still on there.
I'm here, God. I'm here. Well,
how you see that, God?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I mean, we got to educate our own, man. I mean, I grew up in the segregated South, which I'm in now. It's played the little African village called Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I've seen, you know, where we had our own doctors, our own stores, and we did well. You know, we was a community. It took a village to raise a child. You know what I mean? So when I was taught by those who looked like me, I excelled. I made A's and B's for the first year of integration in 71. Mm-hmm. I got left back when Caucasians was teaching me. You know what I mean? I got left back.
Exactly. My uncle did that. They were able to keep our kids behind because we were integrated, and they, you know, they were able to keep our kids behind. That's how we got so far behind.
Very much so. Very much so. I wanted to be a computer scientist. An eighth grade teacher, she discouraged me. You don't want to do that. You want to do something else. You know, get a skill or whatnot. You know what I mean? So, you know, I see that. And for what I surmise, you know, oil and water do not mix peacefully together. So the bottom line, I learned is that at the end of the day, man, it's going to come to a turn that we're going to have to separate from those people because they are not like us.
Exactly. And then also, Tina, I may crumble on the
we want our reparations.
and separate. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. We don't have no choice now.
Yeah, we don't, man. We don't. I mean, they don't like us. They don't like us.
No, since you don't like us, let us have our own shit off on our side or whatever and leave us the hell alone. But we know from history they're not going to leave us alone. They destroyed Black Wall Street, bombed it from the air.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the first aerial bombing attack that you had in military history, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it was your first aerial attack that you had.
We still have a survivor that lives here in Denver. He's like 100 and something years old. He stayed at the Capitol Tower.
Wow. Okay, we got a caller here at the 770 area code with the last 4-5-9-3-9. Okay, Brother Yang, is that them you, sir? Yeah, how you
yes,
doing,
sir.
Brother
yes,
Yang?
Sir.
How's life?
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm well.
You today. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so very, very much for joining.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I'm catching late. I just saw the text jumping off another thing. And I just jumped on. Interesting call. I don't know how I'm going to be perceived on this call. I don't know what came prior to maybe 5 minutes. I agree with what I'm hearing, and some of it I'm a little concerned. You know, I don't with this whole schooling thing. You know, and I want to know what the sister was saying, what she was meaning when at like 14 they would get out of school and go help. You know, one of the things I'm going to say why, here's my whole thing. Realistically, a lot of our children, I'm in a city right now. I'm in Atlanta, and I mean the city of Atlanta. So a lot of our children go to public schools. There's not a lot of homeschooling, and I don't even know if a lot of the parents are qualified or have the time to homeschool. But what I will say affects the Black community largely is apathy, political apathy, involvement. We are now at a point where when we talk about these, when we talk about how we were pre-integration, that was the point. It was pre-integration. All we had was us.
Yes, sir.
That's it. But during integration, and we know the trick of integration, we started the downward spiral. But one of the things is our lack of participation in politics and the welfare of our children. I don't know when's the last time any of y'all have went to a school board meeting, but it is very few of us in there. Ron, you look at in Georgia, they passed a law where they can, I forget the name of the bill, to where if it is offensive to certain elements of the class, they don't have to teach it. So you already know slavery has been wiped out, right? Y'all know white people.
White people
have removed that from the curriculum. I'm like, how dare they say they offended? They're offended.
Right.
At the teaching of slavery. Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are when it paints your ancestry in the light that is painted. So one of the steps that we have to take before the separation, you know what I'm saying, before, because like Chase said, like Jeffy said, man, they're not letting us go anywhere. They're too dependent on our economic stupidity. You know what I'm saying? So their job is to keep them dumb and spending.
Hello.
So they ain't trying to get rid of that Negro. So if you want us tight, we just give you a living hell. We start bombarding the school board meetings, reinstitute the PTAs. I was sad that they got rid of the parent-teacher associations in a lot of these schools. We start demanding the curriculum. We want to know the curriculum. We start talking to these teachers.
Right.
A little bit of involvement will go a long way. You know, they might kick our asses out. We start getting in affairs, start managing our own affairs. We might get on their nerves enough for them to leave us alone a little bit. Like, these are some troublemakers.
Right.
In the beginning, it really is about being involved, especially since we're talking about schools and our children, education, and demanding a curriculum that speaks to us specifically and will ensure us the proper tools to be competitive in this very racist and biased society.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys, man, for letting me speak. I'm still listening. I'm going to fall back and listen.
We wanted you to update us on what's coming marijuana out there in regards to the protest,
what's happening in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, you're right down there up there right by it, Brother Yanga. Yeah, and we want to ask you what's going on, because from what I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm here in Las Vegas, right? Nevada, that is. You know, come on, 7-Eleven, you know, let the casino get all your pocket or get in your pocket and mug your back. But anyway, the information that I came across is that they were building something down there called Cop City. And the reason why we are bringing that up is because in the city of San Francisco, you know, Boys Town, as I call it, you know what I'm saying, up there where London Bridge is, and then where your where Cop Milo used to be the DA of, and she didn't do nothing for little Mario Woods. She got murdered by the San Francisco Police Department, became the vice president. So shed some light on what's happening down there in Atlanta, Georgia with that, Brother Yank, please.
Okay, okay. Cop City is this place that they're going to use to train police. It's supposed to be a mock town that they're going to train police in procedures. And if you're making a mock city, that can only be to occupy territories. That's the only thing I can, what are you training to?
Military.
You making I'm sorry. Yeah, military. Yeah, you're militarizing the police. You're teaching them that, you know, and that's an expectation for something. Some people say CC doesn't stand for Cop City, but stands for concentration camp. You know, so it's a thing down here. Is like, yeah, y'all building a concentration camp, little city Montel. One of the first problems was where they're building Cop City was an encampment of the dishoused. You know, it was, you know, dishoused city, what, you know, we call it homeless. It was largely an encampment, and they just came through and did the damn do. You know, they just came and just, I mean, you know how they do. It's not like we're going to replace you in another or relocate you. We're just running your ass off with bulldozers, you know, and something. Right. Like I said, it was an encampment. So, you know, you probably have people that have been there for a moment. So some of these places, I don't know about fire hazards and all the other bullshit they was running down. But, you know, some of these, you could tell people had gathered things and had, you know, built essentially was living there. And they were in a sector of the city that you couldn't really say it was an eyesore. You couldn't really say they were bothering people, but they used that pretext, health hazards, fire hazards, and went out there to speak to people. Yeah, that was the first thing. Then they hit us with the Cop City. And so you had, and then, you know, the thing about the homeless encampment, it wasn't in conflict with the echo structure or the environment. So when Cop City came, not only did they displace the homeless people, they began to cut trees and stuff like that. So the environmentalists got into it.
Because
like, not only are you displacing homeless, not only are you creating a concentration camp, you know, now you're tearing up the environment. And so long story short, the environment got into it. It got real heavy, you know. And we talk about these white people. White folk are crazy. You know, and I'm not going to give it to largely who's seen Atlanta is white folk. So everybody, you know, was telling white folk fighting harder for y'all. And then white folks, I say, no, they're born with a thing called privilege. See, they ain't got their head busted for a broken head.
Right.
You know, they crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's a privilege. So they don't care nothing about burning the police cars, breaking windows. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to get a fine. 2-3 years of probation, I get murdered. So when we go to that extreme, it got to be all or nothing. It ain't being in the police car and going home. Nigga, the revolution is started.
Right.
We get like that. It's all or nothing now. You
know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, long story short, a person was killed. They say he shot a state trooper. They killed him. And that's what we see going on. This is a... you know, a continuation of just the BS that the state is pulling on the people again. And you have various elements protesting. So we have gotten involved. We've getting a coalition together down here, various activists. We had a strategy session tonight, and I'm trying not to be long-winded, brothers and sisters. We had a strategy session
go on,
tonight. Oh, right on. Thank you. we had a strategy session tonight to see how much participation or how involved we would be, because I said not being involved is not an option. But, you know, we do, let's be realistic, we're not the ones to go to jail. You know, our protest, like me, I'm one of those black protesters. I don't see what, you know, a lot of other protesters get out of voluntarily going to jail. So we weren't going to take that route, none of this. One of the things we did come up to do, and I'm going to have to get Che to listen and get it out to everything, because we can do this in every state. You guys can do it. Boycott the institutions that support Cop City. Wells Fargo. Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, you know, we're starting a campaign. We want black people to put all their money out of Wells Fargo. Forget that. You know, stop I like Coca-Cola personally, but I'm done with Coke products. Screw Delta. Waffle House. You know, and I get a more comprehensive list. And if you're not in Atlanta, spread the word. This is how we unite. We fight collectively. Right where we are. You know, you know what? I'm not going to buy a Coke, screw Coke products because of what's going down in the A with Cop City. So, yeah, right on, man. So, we put it out there to you, you freedom-loving people, man, and black-loving people, man. Let's boy, and I will get Che a more comprehensive list, but let's show a little economic pullback. You know, let's show them, man, that, you know, we are paying attention. Right on. Thank you, brothers, man. I'm falling back, and I'm going to say
Thank
you, man.
Well, that sounds really good. That sounds absolutely really good, but I'm just stating that we couldn't even get black people to support, like, the whole Kyrie Irving thing. Like, they wouldn't even stop buying Nike. So I think I think we're far from there. They would, I mean, and what Kanye and, you know, Kyrie were saying was relatively true. And we wouldn't even stop buying Nike, and they threw this man under the bus, you know, and so we wouldn't even stop buying those products. So
What did Kyrie Irving do? Like, I understand what you're saying, and this is not to knock that, but Kanye and Kyrie, and, you know, they were supporters of Nike. My whole thing, I have a problem with them anyway. I have a problem with black men. Like, I go look at your track record. Negroes always run back to us when the very people that they were placating and catering and stuff like that might show them that they're devils by nature. Then you want to come back, run back to Michael Jackson. Everybody, you know, they deal with these devils. And when the devil turns around and shows them that they're a devil, they run back to us who is the embodiment of God, and we're all forgiving, all embracing. Like we always do.
That's that prodigal son shit, though. That's that prodigal son shit. Yeah. You're supposed to turn them away. You're supposed to turn them away or something. You know what I'm saying? If they come back.
No, I'm not saying you're supposed to embrace them. You're supposed to embrace them, but you don't.
Got mental health issues.
Huh?
But you can't be trying to play football.
He always say crazy shit. He always say crazy. He always do crazy shit. But at the end, he's still trying to support his people.
No, we embrace him. We embrace him, but I'm not going to fight an enemy that you just embraced a few minutes. Right. I embrace you to come home and get healing, but why am I going to fight Trump now? Negro, you just had a mega hat on. You make me look like a goddamn fool.
You're right.
I embrace you as a black person. Come home and get some healing, brother. Yeah. But you want to put me in your struggle. And your struggle was not our struggle to that degree. But you was advocating besides. We're broke. We're poor. And you came with the capitalist, petty bourgeoisie mentality. Now that these Yahoos, these Jews, then bit you in the ass, you coming back to the poor people. You coming back to us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can use some of that Versace and girl buy you a new swell and tell the bitch to do better. You could have did all that, brought all of that, you know. I just have a problem with these people whom, you know, like I said, get out there to a degree. And I'm not saying that you have to take care of the black community. What I'm saying is at some point in time, you do have you don't have to give us money. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like that. But when you promote and you become a walking commercial for materialism and you know the condition of the black community, we will murder you for Versace. You know, I don't think that that's responsible. I ain't asking you to be my savior, but I am saying have some responsibility to your race.
Right. And so I think that's why a lot of black people run from the black community in the first place, because it's all of that. When you get a little bit of money, you got to take care of Big Mama and everybody, you know, there's hate. And there's, so, I mean, I kind of understand why they run the other direction.
White people don't do that. We're the only people that have a problem with that. White people set up for generational wealth.
Okay.
Why
we
got problems taking care of Big Mama?
But white people also put their family in nursing homes and such. And we take care of our family. We take care of Big Mama. We take, you know, so white people also get their families in nursing homes.
Man, we following the trends of Europeans quicker. We following the trends of Europeans quicker than you believe. The secular family is in effect. The nuclear family is dead. And Big Mama ain't got nobody. Big Mama's in nursing home. The new Big Mamas are 33 and 50 years old. You know, I know 50-year-old great-grandparents. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he ain't nursing home fit. Right. The black family has declined. You know what I'm saying? And we supposed to take care of, like, really, that is, Big Mama is a black institution. You know what I'm saying? That's who passes on the Norways and the Norway. That's who passes on the culture. While we're out working and while we're out chasing economics, we sit our children with Big Mama, and Big Mama going to tell them about the family. She's going to tell them about Aunt Putin. She's going to tell them about cousin. This is how the family does stuff. Big Mama is a treasure that has been tossed away because we've become so neo-colonialist that we are falling behind the devil so much we don't even recognize.
Exactly.
I absolutely agree. I think Big Mama is important, but I absolutely think bringing the black father back in the home. I think that's where we start, bringing the black father back in the home and letting him lead over the home and teach the children what should happen, and you know, and us being the nurturers. And I think a lot of this got away from us when the black man left the home.
Yes,
agreeing on here. We ain't left no home. We ain't left the home when we were run out of the home.
Well,
I'm 15 years old.
Right, because my mom told me that when we were little, growing up, that, you know, it was when she went to apply for certain assistance and things like that, they told her she couldn't have a man, but she noticed that when, you know, Jewish families and places, they kept the family together. They kept the family, and they took care of the whole family. It was black families that you couldn't have a man. You know, you couldn't have a man if you needed assistance. And a lot of, my mom said a lot of her cousins kicked the man out. Because they wanted that assistance.
Yeah. And then the cool part of all it is, too, if I may interject here, just hear me out, folks, because as Brother Chad knows, I'm from a sick institution called Los Angeles, California, and then there's this mountain right here that got this word on the side of the mountain that says Hollywood. We got to go up there and control our own narratives in Hollywood is because of the garbage that they project about us. You see what I'm saying? And Brother Che would tell you that I went down there on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Highland Avenue where the Academy Awards at, and Brother J would tell you that I went out there and I bummed on them, you know what I'm saying, for all the talents that they stole from us, for the negative imagery that they portray of us. You see what I'm saying? And then they want all our black men feminized, And what's the fool, Brother Che, who goes up there wearing a dress? What's his name? Billy Porter? You know? And then I pass by TMZ. And then Brother Che tells me, you know, man, get away from TMZ. You know, they the feds. You know? So I got away from them. And then I went up there to where they got all the footprints up there at the Hollywood Chinese Theater and whatnot. And I did see that Queen Latifah did get her a star on Hollywood Boulevard. And then I went down to Sunset and Vine, and I wanted to see the star of The Greatest, which is because when The Greatest, may he rest in power, he just had his birthday recently, they took his star off. It's because he had his up on the wall. And he said, y'all ain't going to be walking over my name, so I want mine put up on the wall. So I'm going over there down to Sunset and Vine Street, which is the next major street going southbound from Hollywood Boulevard. That ain't got The Greatest up there. Where's the star at? You know, where's my man star at? You know what I'm saying? You know, because that was the main one that I wanted to see, because I remember when he had, he did a couple of movies. He did The Greatest, his own story.
And then he was on that guy who played in that movie, Man Bingo, Ken Norton, who played in the movie Man Bingo. And the movie that Ken Norton made. Say that again, please.
We're down to the last 10 minutes of the show.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So we need to go on and start our closing statement. So I'm going to start my closing statement, and then I'm going to ask everybody, you know, to do their closing statement, and then ask Brother Che to do his closing statement and to close us out. So here, ladies and gentlemen, on my closing statement, Shabaka Sankore, you know, I'm the co-executive producer of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We are in our sixth season, and I believe, Brother Che, this is episode 306. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Our co-producers is Brother Che Nkrumah, otherwise known as Jesse Parrish, running for mayor of Denver, Colorado, Lady Che. You know, as our co-producer, then we got the one and only anchor man with us, you know what I'm saying? He's always dropping some gems and some knowledge, and we definitely appreciate the anchor man. So what it is, boycott these negative films that they're making of us, black family that come out of Hollywood, okay? This is why I appreciate Ice Cube, is because Ice Cube, you know, he objected to something that they had wanted him to do, and he walked away from $9 million. Okay, but you can best believe if they give him $9 million, they stand to make $90 million. And then my last line, Lil Wayne, Universal Music Group, yeah, the same one that started Universal Pictures back in 1912. They give Lil Wayne $100 million. You can best believe they're going to make $100 billion. Okay, so therefore, so when it comes to our talent and our resources, we got to be stingy with it, particularly, you know, when the general public demands for it, and we need to start making our own films about ourselves and portraying ourselves in a much better image that they're projecting of us now. And as you and I discussed, Brother Che, Dr. Francis Quest Wilson said in the early 1970s that Cicely Tyson confirmed when they was making all those black exploitation films, they were sitting up there programming our youth right there for a pact of self-destruction, and they're carrying it on their own way without even realizing it. And that's my closing comments right there, okay? Take us out, Brother Che, on the rest of the closing comments. And thank you all so very, very much for joining us here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Hey, and we appreciated having Lord Jamel and Brother Yanga, you know, and Sister Kai, you know what I'm saying, and Lady Che.
Almighty Trudevon, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? So please call in. Hey, spread this show all over the net. You know what I'm saying? Spread it all over the net. Look at our past episodes. Check out our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook.
Yeah, send me the link so I can forward it to Brother Jamel.
You're talking about the link to this particular episode or the name of the show, Brother Jamel?
Yes, this episode, so I can send it to Jamel and he could spread it.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. And then also two folks, we've had PhDs that come on here. We had scholars come on there. We've had our haters come on there. We've had white racists and white supremacists come on here, but they don't last long here on the show because we kick them off. And we had House Negroes like Pianchi. We tried to apologize to Pianchi because, you know, I made an error trying, and I kicked Pianchi off the air, and I was wrong. I tried to apologize to Pianchi on another platform, but Pianchi, he's gone, and he called me everything but a child of God, you know what I'm saying? So later for Pianchi, he calls in off that 314 area code, we're going to kick him off automatically. He is barred from this platform, but we hate to do that. But at the same token, black man and woman, we're not going to sit up here and degrade opposite. That's my closing statement right there. Okay, move on down the line, Brother Che, and let everybody get their last few in.
Brother Yanga, you next.
Was on mute. Enjoyed the show so much, man. Sorry I called in late. Seemed like it was high-powered, like every time I have the opportunity to call in, man. Just looking forward to the next one. And I appreciate you guys for allowing me to have my throw my little tooth in there, man.
Yes, sir. And thank you for calling in, Brother Young. We're happy to have you.
Peace and respect.
Thank you.
Peace, love, and respect from Almighty Devon Allah.
Hey.
Peace, guys. Like, thank you for being part of the show.
Peace to Devon.
Hello, Jamel.
Yes, and I want to say the number one export in America is our music. The number one export that America has to send out is our music. As far as the Big Mama's concerned, I'm at home with her now. She's not in no nursing home. She's 5 years old, and that's where I came from Arizona to be with my mom to make sure I keep it close-knitted, okay? Black lives is the matter, okay? So keep pushing. I enjoy the show, and I'll be attentive to it every time it come on. Thank you much.
Thank you, brother. Sister Kai,
your closing. Well, basically, I enjoyed the show, and I will. I'll definitely be a part of the discussion, a part of the panel again. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity, and I just want to make a comment about reparations. That I think that, you know, we have tons of rich Black people. Tons, like, you know, Oprah Winfrey and so on and so forth, they have the ability to buy up communities, to buy up and businesses, to, you know, to make sure that Black people have a voice. And I don't know, what I learned is people like being rich way more than they like being Black. You know, they like being Black when somebody, you know, when a Trayvon Martin is killed and so on and so forth. But putting your money where your mouth is two different things. And they have the ability to make sure that Black people prosper. It's not an obligation, but it's a responsibility.
Right.
So that's pretty much how I feel. And I can give an example. I have a good friend who lives right off of Quebec, and she lives right off of Quebec in Alameda. And I don't want to keep harping on Jewish people, but she's a good friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, and she is Jewish. And that neighborhood is really, really nice. And I was like, man, I could possibly buy a house over here. I just wanted to know, you know. And she was like, oh, no, they don't sell to any, you know, these are all Jewish-owned homes. And all they sell to is Jewish people. They want to keep the community nice. They want to keep the community, you know. So I was like, wow, imagine if we thought like that, you know. And these are really, really nice communities, you know, and they walk to church and, you know. So I don't know. I just think that's what I learned. Like, people, you know, put your money where your mouth is. It's not an obligation. It's more or less a responsibility. Thank you for having me.
No, one thing I want to comment about the Jewish community, if they are Hasidic, you won't see them with a house dog or a house cat. You won't see them with a dog or a cat, and they chase away the rats. Because we said the pig was grabbed from the cat, rat, dog. They know something. They don't have a cat, rat, or dog. They're two Jews, believe me.
And I don't want us to ever forget this, because I hear we can be hard on ourselves, and we should be. We should demand the best out of us, but never forget, when we're comparing ourselves to these other ethnicities, our counterparts, that none of these people ever experienced the atrocity that we went through. Hitler might have burned a few of them, but he didn't strip them of their cultural identity, which left them with some senses. We have been beat senseless. The fact that we're over having this discussion in English is proof that we've been beat out of our natural senses. So, you know, while we should demand the best for ourselves, let us never forget the horror that was visited upon a people. And so, while I'm not making excuses for our behavior, at the same time, I'm saying they're not natural behaviors. And so, people are better than us. They just haven't suffered like we suffered.
And the Willie Lynch rules and regulations are still being implemented as we speak.
As we speak.
Oh, you're
okay,
right. Kind of trauma.
Don't nobody hang up. We're about to go on to overtime. Lady Che or Ramel, you want to give your closing?
Lady Che, you want to go first? I don't know if she's on there. Okay, I'll step. Okay, my name is Ramel Understanding, the angel of the peace from the east, understanding, understood, in a neighborhood near you, bringing the hope without the throat, official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I want to give a formal salute to Sekou Stephon Evans, one of the original Black Panthers from the 60s, who basically taught me about politics. You know, he brought me in the game as far as the politic game and the campaigning, and he made it where me and Shay started our own chapter
faction of Black Panthers out here. He gave the blessing on that. You know what I'm saying? And we're just moving and grooving, and we're doing what we got to do to make things happen. All right, peace.
Peace. Chay, are you still with us? I think we lost Buddy Chay. All right, I'll close this out. We're all that we got, Black family. Ain't nobody going to come save us but us. Nobody going to do for us but us. Ain't nobody going to come help us do anything but us. So, with all that being said, stay Black, stay dangerous, stay empowered, stay motivated, and we will win. It's our time, Black family. 2023 is the era of Black unity across the board.
Yes, sir.
It's our time.
Frontline campaign, baby. You already know.
Hey. So make sure y'all check us out every Tuesday at this time, 7 Mountain, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, and 8 Central. For a new episode of Sabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Tonight's topic was homelessness, the Second Amendment, and mass shootings. So if you have an idea for a show, let us know. We scheduled them in advance, so please let us know if you want to schedule a show. And we're going to bid y'all a good night. We're going to go out with, Shotgun, Peace, Love, Light, Reparations, Empowerment.
Salute.